Okay, welcome everybody. I am not in my car tonight, so giving the share live from my house. Last week we covered a lot of ground, and because I was in my car, I don't recall everything that I shared. So I will kick off with one of the items that I do recall lamenting that I did not share last week, which is that the name Rus is the gematria 606. So for her to have kept Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, adding the name Rus brings us to 613. Interestingly enough, the same name is also that is found in the Torah is Yisro. Yisro has the same letters as Rus, except that there's an additional Yud. And symbolically, the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, are also found within Parshas Yisro. So that's the connection between Yisro and Rus. Also, as a joke, not to dovetail into that, but of course, I have to say a joke or two. I think I said the joke about the Irish boss who asked me what I'm doing on Shavuos, and I told him I'm reading a book of Ruth, and he said to me, "I don't have that book. That's why they call me Ruthless." All right, that's a little cute. But what's interesting also is, what is the connection between the New York Yankees and Shavuos? And the answer is, it's the house that Ruth built. So there you go. Two jokes to share if you want at the table. All right, so we covered the first pasuk. I think that's what we did last week. I try to walk through the first perek with you through the lens of the Malbim and the Ben Ishchai, maybe Medrash Rabbah, maybe Kedushas Levi. We'll see what we pick up upon. We know that the second pasuk says, "V'shem ha'ish Eli Melach, v'shem ishto Na'ami, v'shem shnei banav Machlon v'Kilion Ephrasayim, mibeis lachem Yehuda, vayavos demo vayusham." So Mefarshim explained that the word ish is the highest level connotation of man. The lowest level is a reference to Adama. But the word ish is followed by the word Elimelech. Elimelech is a reference, as the Medrash Rabbah brings down, to Alai Tavo HaMalchus, to me will come the kingdom. V'shtem ishto Na'ami. Na'ami is the same words as someone who's pleasant. And she comes from the same illustrious family within Shevet Yehuda. And then mentioning the two sons, Mahlon, because he had there are two sons, two brothers, but they each had different characteristics. Mahlon is someone who is mochel kol avonosav. He was somebody who was he was able to bring people to a level of understanding that they should do tshuva. And Kilion is Kliya, it's the opposite. So it's only, I guess. I guess the word is interesting. I'm trying to find the right word, but Kilion marries Arpa, and from there comes Goyas. Mahlon marries Rus, and from there comes Oved, and of course Malchus Beis Yehuda and Mashiach. Ephrasayim, Rashi tells us, is the word Chashuvim. It's interesting that if you trace the word Ephrasayim back, you get to the word Ephrat, which is a town in Israel. And Ephrat was the wife of Kalev. We know that that she was very attractive. And so that name stayed within Klal Yisrael. But Ephrasayim also refers to a higher level reference to an ish that is a nobleman within the family, the rubric of Klal Yisrael. Nibeis lachem Yehuda. So again, this refers to the Hashivas and Vayavos de Moav Vayusham, that they came to the outskirts of Moav Vayusham. So first there's a reference to the fact that they were only going to be there temporarily. The Malbim brings down that Boaz was concerned, I'm sorry, Elimelech was concerned. I was just learning the fourth paragraph, so now my head is in Boaz, but Elimelech was concerned that when people come to ask for money, so there would be a standard amount that was to be given to poor people, let's say $1,000. But some would say to bring in Yontif Shavuos is more than $1,000. I need $1,500. So I don't have $1,500. So then the people would forcibly take the money away from the Gevirim. And so there was a chaotic environment of where there was a judgment on those that were assessing judgments, right? So that's another level of understanding of Shvod HaShoftim, is that the people were making their own assessments, but not taking into consideration that which can be provided through the normal ways of conversation. This is the famous Rashi that it says, Ish Na'ami. Why does it say Ish Na'ami? And the answer is, Mikan Amru Ein Ish Meis Ela L'Ishto. That when there's a spouse that leaves this world, Lo Aleinu, no one should ever know from such a thing. The pain is more acute for the spouse than it is for anyone else. Now, it's far more acute than that of a child-parent relationship. It's far more acute for a cousin or even a best friend. But the best friend, so to speak, in this context, is a husband to a wife. And Vatisharahi Ushne Banah, now she's left with her children. And what did they do after Elimelech's passing? Vayisu Lahem Nashim Moavios. This is literal. This is not to exonerate anyone. The language here in the text is literal. It's referenced to the Gemara Baba Basra that says that Machlon and Kilion intermarried. So how did this come about? Because the word in a prior pasuk in Beis, it says Vayisham. That first it was supposed to be a temporary sojourn, and then it turned into something far more advantageous for them to just stay there. How long did they stay there? As the Pasuk Dalet tells us, Esa Shanim. Vayusalem Nashim Movios, Shemachas Arpa, Veshemashinis Rus, right? So why does it say Veshemashinis Rus? One second. I was just looking at the Ben Yishchai on this one. I remember it was interesting that so he actually brings down some interesting nuances by saying that Elimelech, Machlon, and Naomi is Rashi Tevos Amen, which is the Gematria of Tzadi Aleph of Adnos and 65 plus Yudke Vavke equals 91. So there's a little bit of, there's something about this combination of Elimelech, Naomi, and Machlon, which is something that we get to later on in the Megillah, Megillas Rus. But the takeaway here is that it was supposed to be a short journey, temporary in nature until the famine subsided. But then they got comfortable, and after 10 years, that's how long it takes for intermarriage to occur. So the fifth pasuk tells us that now they, Naomi loses her husband, then she loses her children, and the next pasuk continues that they are now. So the Malbim brings down that there were messengers that would come over the border and inform folks, much like news today would travel by newspaper. Back in those days, it was all word of mouth. So they said that Kipakar Hashem Asamo Latit Lacham, that Hashem redeemed the nation and now they have bread. So the irony in this is that the reason why we're not allowed to marry Moavi men, our women are not allowed to marry Moavi men, is because Al Shlo Kidmos Hashem Alechem Uvamayim. So you see in this pasuk, it says, Latit lehem lechem. So there's a reference over here, so to speak, a double speak, right? We're not allowed to accept because they didn't offer us bread. And now the bread has come back. So now we're bringing back somebody who provided us bread. So there's a little bit of a nuance there. And it's developed a little bit in the Ben Yishchai, but I think it would take me a little longer my takeaway from the rest of the time. I really would love to just try to get through the first parak tonight. And then, of course, questions, you can always raise it afterwards, and I'll be happy to address them. Right, so the next few pesukim just tell us the issues of geiras, right? Because now Naomi is with two daughters-in-law who are both almanos. She too herself is also an almana, and she's telling these girls, Rus and Arpa, that they should return. They are princesses from Moab. They are the daughters of Eglon. They are the granddaughters of Balak. They come from our distant cousins from Lot. So there, basically, she's telling them in three instances the Medrash Rabbah brings down, beginning with Pasuk Ches. It says here, Lechna shovna isha lebeisima. So the word shovna is found once, and then there's another reference to shovna in the following pasuk. Nashuv is pasuk yud. Batamarla ki itcha nashuv lamech. Go back to your country, and then yud aleph. Naomi says it once more. Batoma Naomi shovna benosai lama tilachna imi. Go back, my daughters. Why stay with me? Do I have children for you to marry and for them to be husbands to you? So therefore, you see that there's a reference in Psukim. Shovna is found three times. Shovna ben osai lechna, go back. So kizakanti miyos leish. So the Medrash Rabbah brings down that since we find the word shovna three times, that if anybody were to try to be Magayer, they would be pushed away three times. And after the third time, if they continue to persist in seeking to marry and not marry, but seeking to join the Jewish community, that's when we accept them. And this is Pasuk Yud Daled. It's interesting. Yad is the Pasuk where it says, Vatisena kolam vatifkena, Vatishak arpa lachamosav kaba. Right? This is the famous Pasuk where it's like the Godfather, the kiss of death, right? The kiss of death is. I'm not we're not this is just a kiss. What we know that Arpa's kiss was a fleeting kiss. It wasn't like Rus. Rus did not offer a kiss, but Rus offered a hug. And we have a pasuk, Ba'atem adbeikem ba'Hashem chayim kol chamayom. We attach ourselves to the Torah. We become like an umbilical cord. We're not going to release ourselves from the Torah. And that's what Rus represented. She introduced to us the concept of dveikus, which is closeness, attachment. And here in this, Rashi tells us something fascinating on the pasuk where Rus is being told by Naomi that, do you really want to do all these things? Do you know what you're getting yourself involved in? And the answer is, ki el asher telech elech. Wherever you go, I go. I need to. This is a must for the night shiur over here, and I want to thank everybody for joining us. I need to share with you this beautiful Rashi, much like we've been sharing a Ben Ish Chai and a Rashi and a Medrash Rabbah and a Kiddush HaSlevi. It's all one thing. So Rashi tells us, "Mikan Amar Rabbah Seinu Ger Shabbat Liskayer Modin Lo Miksas Onshem." We first tell the Ger about the punishments. She'im Ba Lachzar. That if the ger wants to say, hey, you know what, I reconsider everything I was talking about, you can still go back. Shemitok talk to Baram Sharus at the Lamad Sha'amalana Ami. What was the Rus? What was the language that what was the conversation like? So she said, it's usher for us to go outside of Tchum Shabbos. It's fascinating that this would be the first thing that you would tell somebody. But when I was thinking about this Rashi, that you tell somebody that there's a Tchum Shabbos. I mean, come on. There's so many different things to talk about to dissuade somebody from joining the Jewish community, and you're talking about a perimeter fence that's 2,000 amos within a city wall. I mean, the whole language over here is so off. And then it clicked on Shabbos because there's a Rashi elsewhere that when someone was asked, "Who is Yorei Hashem?" So Rashi tells us. Someone who's Shomer Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference how big the yarmulke is. It does not make a difference if the person has Chol Yisrael or Chol Akum. Rashi is defining a Jew. The definition of a Jew, according to Rashi, is one simple rubric, one simple criterion. Not criteria. Criteria is plural. I learned that a long time ago when I was in school. Criterion is one, and that is Shomer Shabbos. In fact, I was just having a conversation, and my friend told me, "You know, my brother-in-law, he's not Shomer Shabbos." I was like, "Wow! Like, why tell me all this?" And I think that's a defining characteristic. So that's one. So then she says, "What was the answer about Tchum Shabbos?" "Ba'asher telech elech. Wherever you go, I go. If you stop before, I stop before." Then the next thing Naomi says is, "Aslan nisyach in akivim zachar shena isha." So she said, it's not proper for us to be have issues of yichud and pritzos. So she answered, Basher Talini Alin, wherever you sleep, I sleep. If you're telling me that there's an isser of being alone with the opposite gender, then that's understandable, and I will respect that. And then the next thing she says, Amenu mudalim mishar amen b'sheish meos v'shlosh esrei mitzvos. We differentiate ourselves because we have a lot more responsibilities. So she says, Amech amen. Whatever your my nation is your nation, whatever it is that you need to keep, I will keep. Then the last thing she says, well, two things. She says, Asolanu avodazara. We can't serve idols. You've been growing up in a way that you serve, you know, two toothpicks. You put them together. You light a match. You make a scratch. And you make an avodah zarah out of this and that. No. So she said back, Elokayach Elokai, your God is my God. Arba misos nemsur lebezdin. She says, there are four punishments. And then she says, Basher tamus amus. Wherever, whatever is meant to be will be. If that's the way I need to leave the world, then that's the way it will be. And the last thing she says, that there are separate kvarim for Arba misos bezdin. And what was her answer? She answered, Besham ekaver. So there was nothing pulling Rus away from Naomi. She basically explained everything from soup to nuts. And then as we move into the middle of the perek, there's only 22 psukim, and we're already at Pasuk Yud Ches. So just sharing a little bit over here, I wanted to try to close out this perek. So this is the fascinating part and how everything works itself through Yad Hashem. Everything about that we've heard so far is tragic, but it gets a little more tragic. Because the pasuk begins by in pasuk yutes, "Batilach nashem abona beislacham, va'yehi kavona beislacham, v'teim kol ayir aleihem v'tamana hazos nami." So the Ben Ish Chai brings down that Rus was a beautiful woman; she was gorgeous, and she is going with a very elderly Naomi, and there were a lot of opportunities for them to not find a safe passage. Especially on dark nights and going on roads that were not clear of bandits and villains and all sorts of dangerous people. And yet, Rus and Naomi were never touched. And they were able to safely journey to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yehuda, Beis Lachem. So that was a miracle within itself. But what was became apparent was that Arpa did not have the same fortune. Arpa had a very unfortunate circumstances, set of circumstances, and the end result was that she became the mother of Goliath. So it just shows you the two, and that's something that we will hopefully, I have to bring out this Ben Ish Chai. I'm going to close out with one Ben Ish Chai on that Pasuk for tonight, but I wanted to just share one or two additional ones. It says that when people saw, so what happened? People saw them coming back. Isn't that a little strange? Normally when you come back, you know, it's at nighttime and nobody's there. But the Medrash Rabbah brings down on this pasuk that was the same day that Boaz lost his wife. Boaz had 36 children. Chazal bring down, he lost his wife. He was burying his wife. At the same time that he's burying his wife, Rus is coming into the picture with Naomi. And so I think that Chazal are teaching us that there's a concept here that Eina Malchus Nages Mechavata Afilu Kamalei Nima, that Shalom Melech and David Melech, you know, when it comes to Malchus, they don't touch each other until Hashem wants it to happen up until that very second. And it just so happens that that's the time that Boaz loses his wife. And that's the same day that they come back into Eretz Yehuda, Beis Lachem Yehuda. So obviously Chazal are telling us that Hashem is working miracles. And again, what we see with the naked eye is not always what is happening. We see things that happen and it's travesty and it's really horrible. But then we don't really understand the inner workings of Hashem and how they come about. Then the pasuk says, "Vatomer aleihem, al tikrani li Naomi, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, because it's my lot has been really bad. I walked out with so much, but I come back empty-handed. And Vatashav Naomi Barusam Avia Kalasa Yima Hashav Mistei Moav Beim Abo Beislag Metchias Kitzir Akosrim." So that's how we complete the first parak. So we see that Nami is bereft. She's very upset and she's challenged, and she doesn't accept the fact that it's a very difficult circumstance. And oftentimes, and by the way, if you were writing this book, you would probably redact a few sentences. I happen to write occasionally. I mean, I'm not from the best of the writers, and there are plenty better ones than me. But there's always an editor side to everything. And you look at these psukim, you say, why would Nami say Shaddai Limo, like Himar Shaddai Limo, that Hashem did these terrible things to me? You would think, no, Shmuel and Avi should have taken it out. But what he's saying is that we're all human and we make mistakes. And here is a feeling of frustration. She came back with 1,000 gold coins. She left with the wealth of Ahasuerus and comes back with 1,000 gold coins. And she considered herself poor. Imagine how much wealth they had. So that's just to put things in perspective. And we are interested in looking at this. In Tehillim, we say, I just wanted to share with you this beautiful, I think that this is something very powerful. And if I could find it, God willing, I will share it with you. 1 second. Oh, boy. Let me find it. Osa mishpah ma'ashukim nosein lachem la'ayivim. Ah, here it is. See, I said the pasuk, and now it came before me. So we say every day in davening, and I want to just close out with this thought, if I may, in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Vav, David HaMelech wrote the following words, Osa mishpah la'ashukim. No sein lechem lor evim. Hashem matir asurim. Hashem pokeach ivrim. Hashem zokev kefufim. Hashem oev tzadikim. Hashem shomer zgerim. Yasom v'almana yodeid. V'derech v'sharm yaves. David HaMelech wrote this. And here is the Ben Ish Chai explaining in his brilliant way. Nobody can say it the way he says it. And it just simply brilliant. So he says like this. The intent of these words, and I'll just read it now in English, that there are incredible measurements of goodness within Rus and all our children, our holy children, that they were immersed in the Klipa of Moab, which means that they were under the realm, the authority of Moab. Someone said to me, what does that mean? So I said, okay, what is so special about Rus? Why is it that we spend so much time talking about Rus? So the obvious answer is that Shmuel HaNavi wrote this as a yichas to David HaMelech, from whom David descends. Rus is the ancestress. But yet there's another layer to that, and that is that up until the time of Matan Torah, which is, God willing, what we will celebrate on Tuesday night, we know that every nation had, so to speak, control over the people. People cannot simply leave. They cannot walk out of their religion, can't walk out of their family. They were tied to it. They did not have the freedom to choose a different path. And yet when Matan Torah happened, imagine, as we said perhaps last week, that there is zuchim, there's like this glass jar, and there are these marbles within that jar. And someone is walking, and then they just drop the glass, and the marbles are free to go wherever they want to go, wherever they want to go, left, right. And so these marbles are holy neshamos. And now they're able to go and attach themselves to whichever nation they desired. And the holiest and the most critical of all those souls is Rus. And there are many others. Unclus was the nephew of Nero from Rome. And he had Rabbi Meir, who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. There were many. Rabbi Meir also descended from a line. There was a Geras involved. There was. I don't want to harm him, because I know in the future there will be greatness that comes from Esav. That's why when it came to the Mitzri, Moshe Rabbeinu looked into the Mitzri and saw what, this is a little deep, but he said, I see what's in the future, and I don't see anything. I don't see a Rabbi Akiva there. I don't see Rabbi Meir there. I don't see an Unclus there. I don't see anything. And that's when he used Hashem HaMafarsh. Okay, so that's a separate situation. But here, let's go back into this. The Rus is the most powerful neshama among many holy neshamas, says the Kedushas Levi. Returning to the Ben Ish Chai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisparach Osa Mishpah La'asukim. What does it mean that Hashem does Mishpah to those who seek out mishpat, seek out justice. Ha'elu la'afrida miklipas Moav. Those who desire to leave the umbrella of Moav. U'kasha nosin lechem la'arev. And what does it mean? Hashem gives food to those that are hungry. Shapakar Hashem es amo. That we said in the earlier on in the parak that Hashem remembered His nation. La'telahem lechem, to give them bread. So that's what it means. Nosin lechem la'arev. Hashem gives food to those that are hungry. Az osozman. Hashem matir asurim. Hashem frees those that are in captivity. What does that refer to? Heim hanashamos rus v'zara. This refers to the neshamos of Rus and her children. She'az osozman yatzla mibeis hamasa shemoav ubaoim na'am milam Yisrael. They came out of that prison of Moav, and now they were able to attach themselves to Klal Yisrael. Ve'eich hutar hamaser. Where did they get permission to leave the prison? Who gave them, who granted them permission? Amar Hashem pokeach ivrim. Hashem opened up their eyes. Shepikeach inea, shetavin, that they should understand, ba'amitot dat Yisrael, they should understand the truth, the essence of the Jewish people. Look what we do. Just recently, we celebrated 4 chatufim that were miraculously rescued. And yet the world is complaining that there were so many deaths that occurred at the same time. It is tragic. Every loss of life, we have to mourn every single loss of life. But all of this would hopefully come to an end if all of these chatufim were to come home. And that's what we're davening for. No one in Klal Yisrael seeks war. We just want our family members home again. And we're hoping that they find safe passage. And we mourn the loss of all life. But here, this is Hashem Pokeach Ivrim. Hashem opened up the eyes of the nations of the world, specifically those neshamas that desired it. Even though we just described in Rashi how Naomi pushed her away and said, you don't need this. Why would you want to join the Jewish nation? We're the most hated nation on earth. We have so many laws and restrictions and Naomi tried, but Rus said, I see the beauty in the Jewish people. I see the beauty in the culture. I see the beauty in the people, in the Torah, and I want to become part of you. So, lo natza achem asa arpa, she did not follow the ways of her sister arpa, lashuvima, to go back where she went. So, therefore, it says, el amra amech ami, she said, your nation is mine. Elokai Elokai, your God is my God. I give up all Avodah Zarah. The Kibla Hadas Becholofen, she accepted the religion with all of its requirements and any of the permutations that Chazal demand of us. Ubazah Hashem Zokev Kafufim. And that's what it means that Hashem enabled them to stand upright, to stand strong. When we stand strong, we're unstoppable. We are invincible. And that is exactly Shazakav Komasa Sharus. Rus stood proud, Rus stood strong, and that's the way Klal Yisrael needs to behave today. We need to be proud of the fact that we're Jewish. We need to be proud of the fact that we are Gomel Dalem, Aleph, Bina, Gomel Dalem, that the first level of knowledge is to help those that are in a state of destitution. It could be a state of mental illness. It could be a state of physical, spiritual, health-wise, all of these different things. That's what we do as the Jewish people. We help. We lift people up. Shahai says, "Kefufa mikodem bayosan gevia," that she's now standing so proud and so tall and so dedicated. Yan ki Hashem oyev tzadikim. Why? Because Hashem loves tzadikim. Hashem loves people who stand strong like a Pinchas and understand exactly what's required of us. Heim zara hakadosh ad melech hamashiach. That she is the proud ancestor. She's a proud bubby. And she's not taking anything. She's not pulling any punches. She is proud to be who she is. And she's a proud mommy and she's a proud bubby. And that's what Rus represents. And she's prepared to bring about a family that will usher in Mashiach Tzakenu in our time. Ulachain, and therefore Alpha P Shashava Yachidas Emisha Zakena, B'makom Sakana. Shel Sedos Moav, even though she came back from a place that was very dangerous, the fields of Moav, Im Kozeh, Hashem Shomer Asgerim. Hashem watches over the Gerim. Hashem watched over Naomi in the schus of Rus. Shashamar osa b'chol aderach kulo v'lo naga ba'adam. Nobody went near them. K'mo shamar chachamein ozal nisim gedolam nasu la b'aderach. Shahaisa yifat torar. She was beautiful v'lo paga ba'adam. And no one came near them. Vina yasam. What is the yasam in this case? Zem machlon. The yasam, the orphan, is machlon. How is that possible? Because machlon needs a name. And he passed away, but he was orphaned. He was orphaned by his father, who passed away before him. So now he is the orphan. Shahaya mikashkesh b'maya sharus. But now his neshama is going to carry forward inside Rus through Boaz. So the lahakim shema ish, that to bring about the name of the deceased, is that that's exactly what Rus is doing when she got married to Boaz. The almana, who is the almana in this case? He Rus atzma. Rus is the widow, right? So Yeoded means will be strengthened. And David HaMelech is referring to his ancestors when he says this. Because now we see that Boaz, whose name, by the way, comes from Boaz, here comes strength. He comes over to Rus and he says, Rus, I know that you want to marry me, but I need to go through a procedural step. I got to find this guy, Tov. He's the first in line to marry you. And if he decides to marry you, then I'm out of the picture. But if he steps back, then I will step into the picture. And sure enough, the fourth parak begins that Boaz is standing outside the gate. And miraculously, only things are miraculous in this Megillah. Tov comes along and Boaz says, you need to do this. And he says, no. And do you know why he said no? Because he thought that he was going to lose his nachla. And do you know what that tells you? He was not a learned man, because he did not know the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim, that Moavi below Moav is prohibitions against the man and not the woman. And if he would have known that, he would have been able to do it. But great men make great decisions. It was Denzel Washington who once said, small minds gossip. They speak about others. Good minds create ideas. Great minds implement them. So in order for a person to demonstrate that he has a great mind, a person has to demonstrate first that he's a learned person. Because what's in the mind comes out of the mouth. And here we see that Tov ended up becoming a Ploni Amoni, a Joe Schmo. He left the scene, never to be heard from it ever again. But whereas Boaz enters the scene and is always referenced in future discussions. And that's when it says that V'derech V'shayim Z'arpa Ya'aves is written or rotten to the core. So that's what it means that, again, Osa Mishpala Ashukim, Osa Lechem Lor Avim, Hashem Matir Asurim, Hashem Pokeach Ivrim, Hashem Zoke Kufufim, Hashem Oyev Sadikim, Hashem Shomez Gerim, Yasom V'amani Yodeid, V'derech Hashem Yaves. Why? Why is this all great? Because Yimloch Hashem Le'olam, Alakayach Tzion, L'dar V'dar Haluka. And that's what we're hoping for this Shavuos, Mashiach Shekam, Asher in a time where all Achatufim return home. We got the encouragement before the Yontif, and we're going to take that encouragement with us into Yontif. We're going to continue to daven, learn, and have in mind that we should only see brachos and yeshuos and hatzlacha and safety for all achayalim and chayalot and good health for all of Klal Yisrael, for shlema, for everyone that needs one. And I'm having in mind a few people, and please have in mind as well. I want to wish you a beautiful Yontif Shavuos. I should come upon the Jewish people in the very best of health. Have a great week.